I was wondering if you could talk about maybe who made the decision to close the school. Has there been any input from the parents or from the Ganasatage community at large? And for how long have they been planning to close the school?
Well, the decision to close the Radihanta High School was made by the Department of Indian Affairs in conjunction with the existing Mohawk Council and the third-party manager, PricewaterhouseCoopers. And the parents have been demanding that the high school stay open, that they save our high school. They've been the only solution for the parents of all three schools on the territory is to keep our two elementary schools separate and to either find trailers to as a temporary solution to house our high school for next year while they construct the high school, or keep them where they are now and renovate that portion of the building which they occupy. The parents have been trying in vain since October 2004 to meet with Indian Affairs and the council and the consultant all in one place. They did set up a meeting for February 1st, in which the consultant, Mr. Michael Cornacook, appeared. However, James Gabriel, Marie Chenier, and Indian Affairs absolutely refused to attend that meeting to meet the parents of these schools. Now, as per Mont Laminé, where the high school is located, that's been well over a year that the council and Indian Affairs has known that the lease would not be renewed, and they've done nothing for a year except spend millions on a useless police force here, the Gunsaga Mohawk Police, and waste the money on a PR firm to boost the image of Mr. Gabriel, and also spending millions on getting around on the issue of policing alone, but also spending $1.8 million on the third-party manager to sign checks for the band council, which is absolutely ridiculous.
What role does PricewaterhouseCoopers play in this? I know that they get funding requests from Gabriel and the three others, and then it has to be affirmed by Indian and Northern Affairs. But so does PricewaterhouseCoopers, do they play a neutral role in this? Or is there some, like, is there any, do they have a choice in the matter? What's their role in it?
Well, third-party manager, PwC, their role, you stated it very well, is they receive invoices. They ship them up to Indian Affairs. There's a little subcommittee at Indian Affairs that handles the Gunasadaga file, and they decide on which requisitions would be paid. That includes policing, a PR firm, the $3,000 per week hotel stay of Mr. Gabriel, and the hotel stay of the so-called Mohawk police officers. So I do believe PwC, I don't know if they're neutral or not. They've dealt with several community members in a very bad way here. People have been asking for information, such as myself, from them, financial information, which is public information. However, they have flatly refused every attempt made by myself and other community members to obtain the financial situation of the band council. So I don't think that they are neutral in that respect, but I didn't expect much from PwC, seeing how it's James Gabriel who demanded that they come to Gunasadaga, and seeing how PricewaterhouseCoopers is only one floor below the office of the federal negotiator, Mr. Eric Maldoff, who negotiates directly with James Gabriel on the Gunasadaga file. It's all the same old boys network that's happening here in Gunasadaga. You look at the Gomery inquiry, and nothing's impossible. The government would go to any level here in Gunasadaga to control the agenda. We are the only native territory in all of Canada that is not recognized as a reserve. We do not have reserve status, and they've been trying to pin us down for years and centuries to define us, to keep us within our boundaries. And it's unfortunate they found the perfect puppet in James Gabriel to carry out their work.
Well, and the closing of the school does seem like part of that larger trend. For instance, well, there's the historical trend of confinement and attempted assimilation of the indigenous peoples. but also just even the recent trend with Gabriel and Quebec and Canada signing the Gansetage Land Management Act, which
correct.
Would just assimilate the Gansetage government, and then with the police force going under the control of the Sûreté de Québec.
Yes, you're right on track on that one. The Land Governance Agreement was nothing but a municipalization act, basically to confer upon the council the powers of a municipality. And also the policing agreement, we have a policing agreement here which the community did not was not consulted on and never ratified. However, on that in that police agreement, James Gabriel sits on the hiring board and decides who and who is not going to be a police officer in Gansetage. If that's not a direct conflict of interest, I don't know what is. The government of Canada, like I said, has been pumping millions into this community, but there's no benefit. There's nothing to show for it here in Gansetage. And that's the real crime. The millions of dollars floating all over the place in and out of this community, and there are many people making a fortune off of this tiny community. And those same people are the ones who are trying to pass their agenda through Gansetage and take advantage of the political instability and take advantage of Mr. Gabriel's, he's naive if he thinks that he's working for the community. Certainly the Mohawks who live here are very clear, and they see the big picture as to how he's been manipulated by the government and how he is carrying out their agenda. And like I said, the assimilation policy is still alive and well in Canada. I have no doubts about that. When you look at closing our high school, and it's just the same effect as residential school effect, where they would ship the people off the territories. And that's why we have our schools on our territory. So we do not have to send our kids off the territory. We can keep them here where they learn their language and culture, where they learn who they are, and learn that they grow up together and build a community together. Mr. Gabriel's pushing for the policy of residential school policy, and that is removing the children from the territory just so they can save a few bucks. But if you're willing to spend millions on policing and millions on PR and lining your own pockets, lining the pockets of many other firms like National, why not spend a few on our children and the future of this community to keep and build a school here which will benefit everybody in Gansetage.
So the school that they would be bused to, it's a half hour away, is that correct?
That's the closest one.
Okay. And it would be temporary. This would only last for a year.
Well,
is that the
nothing's
idea?
Temporary? No. Temporary? Never. The department doesn't do temporary measures when they decide to ship people off the territory. Once they're off, forget about them building a high school here in Gansetage. If we give in at this point in time, the government will never build a high school here, ever. They'd be happy to ship the kids off the reserve and, I should say, off the territory. You know, happy to have them where they're not going to learn their language and culture and learn who they are. They'll be happy to do that. And, no one's going to be fooled. I'm certainly not fooled by the government saying, well, just go off the territory for 1 year and we'll discuss building a high school. And I don't buy that for a second, and neither do the parents, because they know once the school is closed, once the children are off the territory, there's no chance whatsoever that they will actually consider building a high school. That's the bottom line. Now we have to take a stand. If Mr. Gabriel has a backbone, has any integrity at all, he should be standing up and fighting for that high school, fighting for our three educational institutions here to remain separate, and giving the parents the choice of where they can send their kids to school on the territory. I find it absolutely ridiculous that the only time Mr. Gabriel seems to stand up and fight is when it involves policing. And that's a sad commentary on it for him. And everybody sees that here in Gansetage.
I feel like this same type of thing was discussed when there was talk of putting of building a casino on the land, and that the only stipulation was that in order to get the casino, there would need to be this police force, and that's how the Gansetage, that's how the KMPs got into power. And then as soon as they were around, all talk of a casino just dried up.
correct. There was a referendum here where the population voted overwhelmingly in favor of a casino, and that was going back almost 10 years ago here in Gunnasadaga. Like you said, the condition put forth at the time, as we were told by Quebec and Canada, was that there was no security to have a casino here. And that's when talk of the Mohawk police came around, and they came into existence, but then the reason they were brought in for existence disappeared. So there was no casino, and I don't think they're ever, I don't think the governments were ever serious about that in the first place. They just wanted to implement a authority here, which they have a say in and which they can control to a degree, and which they had the perfect person in James Gabriel to control and manipulate. And he's been, you know, I've said it many times, he's either chief of police or grand chief. Which one does he want to be? Because he can't be both. But that's what he's been doing since 1996, effectively running policing in Gunnasadaga. And anyone who stands in his way, stands up for their rights here in this community, such as I have done, he's branded me and a whole bunch of people in Gunnasadaga as criminals. And nothing can be further from the truth. I'm not a criminal. Just because I stand up for my rights and I'm strong in my beliefs as to who I am doesn't make me a criminal. But in James Gabriel's eyes, well, if you stand up, if you're not for him, you're against him. And if you're not for the type of policing he wants, then you must support criminal activity in Gunnasadaga. That's his mentality. And like I said, he brands people, then he has a public relations firm paid for by Indian Affairs to boost that image of James Gabriel and boost the negative image of myself and other people in this community, which is totally reprehensible.
So he really just has too much centralized power invested in himself.
Sure.
What attempts are being made in the community to try to spread out that power?
They've been trying to get to an election and get him out of office in a legal vote. Right now, they don't see him as a leader. They don't see him as having a legal mandate, because his mandate did expire on July 2004. I was on the same council with him, and my mandate expired along with his. However, he chose to go to Canada, extend his mandate.